Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, say the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Hallelujah. The Lord is good. The Lord is good all the time. Can you say amen?
Amen?
First of all, I think we ought to all go up to Children's Church and hear Miss Heather preach this morning. Glory to God. Amen. Now, this will go along with the message, but you know, by being here, you are a blessing. If you gave anything in the offering, you're a blessing. Those working in the children's department are a blessing. Now, if you encourage somebody this morning, you're a blessing. If you encourage the whole church this morning, you're a blessing. Amen. If you greeted somebody at the front, if you worked in the bookstore, you're a blessing. Glory to God. Amen. Say, thank God for blessings. I'm talking about the blesser, but you being a blessing. Amen. Praise God. And then secondly, Caleb, this was a real quick thing, because that's usually the way it happens with Caleb. Go first, you know, Mac's son. But, you know, for years and years and years, you know, Canaan Land, of course, founder, Mac Gober, tremendous, tremendous ministry. Brother Mac and, you know, Brother Copeland strongly supports him because he so much believes in them. And they have a teen challenge type ministry because Mac came out of that brutal biker lifestyle, you know, gangs, violence, drugs, alcohol. And I'm telling you that the love of God just oozed out of him when he shared the word of God. And he was just so thankful and grateful for all the things that Jesus had set him free from. And so a teen challenge type ministry where people go there and stay for a year and sometimes for even 2 years. And, of course, that takes a lot of money. They house them. They feed them for the whole year they're there. They don't work. They just go and attend classes there all day long and so forth. And Mac always liked to come here. I know 1 year, and they'd go whitewater rafting, you know, to get these guys out. And so, you know, 1 year they had the I don't know, in today's economy, what's that Mexican gang you always hear about, Trinde a la whatever, you know? Yeah, it was one of those. One of the worst leading gangs in America. And the head of that gang was at Canaan Land Ministry, and he goes whitewater rafting. He said, I've never done anything like this in my life, man. You know, it's really wild. So they spend the night in our gym and all that kind of stuff. Then Mac would always preach. Of course, Mac went home to be with the Lord. Now, right now, you know, there have been times when Canaan Land would come with their counselors, because sometimes they could bring five or six of their helpers, sometimes only one or two, but sometimes Mac and all of his family and their counselors, they've come here with almost 40 people. They're just coming with five people, including Caleb himself, you know, because it comes and goes with the number of students they have at Canaan Land. So he's coming. He says, I don't have to preach or anything. He wants to preach, you know, but he says, I don't have to. I said, no, we can work it out. You come, you preach, glory to God, and we'll take care of you guys. It's always interesting because, you know, one year we were feeding them. I said, would you like to have a big homemade cooked breakfast? Or we could go to Hardee's. They said, Hardee's, man. Hardee's said, we cook them a home-cooked meal every day they're here. They like these outside sources. You know, so Hardee's biscuits will be really good. So Mac, when he came, he always took them to the Chop House. Remember the Chop House in, you know, when it was going strong in Chattanooga? You know, the Chop House, he always liked to go there. It cost a lot of money, but those guys got those guys out, you know, and he loved doing that. So I don't know. We since it's just five of them, we may do some different things with them. But if you will come, you will be blessed. But if you come, you will be a blessing to them. Like I said, just five. But they're one of the ministries that we support on a regular basis, monthly, and because we believe, just like we believe in life and the Crisis Pregnancy Center, we believe in supporting these tremendous ministries. And, you know, have been a part of some of these ministries, like with Daniel McCarty and his wife. We have supported them over almost 35 years. Think about that. Praise God. And that's a blessing when we do that. Amen. So praise God. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12.
Yes.
Glory to God. It's already been a wonderful service, hasn't it?
Yes.
Genesis 12. This is God talking to Abraham. And God said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I read that scripture over 45 years ago, and I realized then, of course, it's not the only scripture along these lines, but I realized that's always been God's desire for all of us. He wants to bless us and make us a blessing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he told Abraham, I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. Amen. Now, you have to be blessed before you can be a blessing, because you can't give what you don't have. Isn't that right? Amen. I like what Jerry Savelle said. He said, the blessing of God is an empowerment to prosper, to succeed, to multiply, to increase, to excel, and to rise above what attempts to hold you back and keep you down. Let me read that again. The blessing of God is an empowerment to prosper, to succeed, to multiply, to increase, to excel, and to rise above what attempts to hold you back or keep you down. So if you bless somebody, to bless means to favor, to make happy, to make successful, to prosper materially and financially, and to be protected from anything that would harm you. Glory to God. Now it's interesting that in Galatians chapter 3, it tells us that these promises were made to Abraham and to his seed, singular, not plural. The promises were made to Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed, singular, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, in Galatians 3:29, it says, if you are Christ, anybody in here Christ? If you're born again, you're Christ. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to God. So first of all, God wants to bless us. You know, God, you know, sometimes I hear people saying, and I just don't like this. It's not the way I would say it. Doesn't mean they're saying it wrong. But sometimes people will say or imply that the only reason that God wants to bless you is so that you'll be a blessing to others. No, God wants to bless you, period, because He loves you. Because you're His child and He's your Father. And He cares about you and He watches over you. And He wants to take care of you in grand fashion. So He loves you and He wants you to experience an abundant life. And secondly, because He loves others, He wants to use us to be a blessing to them. Glory to God. And certainly, we were blessed when we got saved. That's the greatest blessing that we will ever receive. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. We are blessed spiritually. Amen. But God desires and does bless us in every walk and in every realm and area of life. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things. You know, Rick Renner, Greek scholar Rick Renner, says in the Greek that says, my strongest desire for you. My strongest desire. This is God calling you beloved. My strongest desire is that you prosper in all areas of life, not just materially, but that you prosper and be in health and that you prosper in your mind and in your emotions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, unlike some religious people, God has no problem in blessing His children. It bugs religious people, but it doesn't bother God in the least. Amen. So God told Abraham, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. As Christians, we have been blessed. We are saved. We're going to heaven. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places or every blessing that heaven offers. And so we are blessed beyond measure. And we are eternally grateful for that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And because of these blessings, we should be a blessing and can be a blessing. And we should make it our life's aim to live for Him and do His will and be a blessing to others. Amen. Glory to God. One man said, do not reduce the purpose of your life. Now, you could say this to sinners, but to Christians. Do not reduce the purpose of your Christian life, I'll add, to only getting married, starting a family, building a home, going on vacation, paying off your house, and saving for retirement. God has a much bigger plan for you. I said, God has a much bigger plan for you. Now, he says this, and I'm going to quote from him because this kind of sparked this whole message, and I like what he said here, especially about Esther in a moment, so get ready for that. He said, there's nothing wrong with getting your life established. But for a Christian who has been rescued, delivered, set free, totally, spirit, soul, and body, I'm adding, by Jesus' death, and whose home is in heaven, who knows that hell is hot and eternity is long, to live for anything less than what Jesus died for is wrong. Now, you know, I know, and he's going to mention it here, sometimes people think, well, if I become a radically turned on Christian, like you're always saying you ought to be, that's the only kind of Christian you should be, a radically turned on Christian. And that's one of my callings, to call people to be radically turned on Christians. That's why I emphasize consecration and dedication from time to time in my messages. That's part of my calling. I know that it is. That's, you know, faith changed my life. The baptism in the Holy Spirit changed my life and all these wonderful things. But it all started with me becoming a radically turned on fire in love with God Christian. That's where it started. That was the kickoff point. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so sometimes people think, well, you're just trying to turn me into a missionary that's going to have to go live in Timbuktu. Well, as I always jokingly say, have you ever been to Timbuktu? You might like it there. But God has probably not called you to go to Timbuktu, and has probably not called you to be a missionary. But whatever He's called you to do, if He has called you to be to Timbuktu, that's the happiest place on earth for you. That's the place you'd be the most fulfilled and the most blessed and the most useful in the kingdom of God. So he realizes that, this author here, and he says, at times we think that in order to live out God's will, we have to quit our job and move away as missionaries. Some people are called to do that, but for the rest of us, Jesus set us free so that He can send us to our places of influence as missionaries. A missionary is more of a mindset than a location. It is living with the intention to bring the kingdom into the place of your influence. Our job is to go into the world carrying Jesus. The Holy Spirit creates opportunities for miracles to happen all around us to those we are called to impact. Amen. And then he quotes Esther 4:14. Now listen to this. You know this scripture. But it says, you know, Mordecai, Esther was a captive, not a slave, but, you know, she's living, the Babylonians had taken the Israelites and transported them back to their home, and they were captives there. Amen. Aliens in a foreign land. Esther was an orphan. Her parents had been killed during this process. And so Mordecai, her cousin, who was older, you know, became responsible for her, like an uncle or something. So here she is, just a little bitty captive, almost slave girl in a foreign land. And just like that, she becomes the queen of the whole Babylonian Empire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, you know, Haman is very evil, and he wants to kill all the Jews. He hates the Jews, and he wants to annihilate them. Sound familiar? And so the king doesn't even know that Esther's a Jewish, you know. He doesn't even know that. And so Mordecai comes to her and says, you know, you have the opportunity to keep your whole people from being annihilated in this area. But for that to happen, she has to approach the king. And you don't approach the king unless you're invited. And if you approach the king and you're not invited and he doesn't raise his scepter towards you, you will be killed. And, you know, I don't think we understand it in our modern day Democratic Republican, even like looking at like the King of England and the Queen of England. We don't understand it. I'm reading right now in 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles, especially after David and Saul. You know, those kings were powerful, man. They didn't like you. Lose your head just like that. They want you had a piece of property next to theirs. They wanted it. They'd figure out a way to just kill you just like that. One king did that. And at times they slaughtered numbers and numbers of people. And so her very life is at risk to intercede in behalf of her people. And you know the story. If you don't read it, I you know, go back and refresh your memory and read the whole book. And so Esther 4:14 says, if you remain completely silent at this time, that's Mordecai telling Esther, if you don't say anything, if you remain silent, then deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Esther goes on to say, I'll do it. I'll come up with a plan and I'll approach the king. And I'm paraphrasing, but she says, and if I die, I die. Amen. Esther was a heroine, he says in the Bible, who leveraged her platform for the fulfillment of God's purpose. Things did not start well for her. She was named Hadassah by her parents, whom she lost when Israel got invaded by Babylon. She was an orphan who became a captive. Her relative Mordecai adopted her and changed her name to Esther. King Xerxes' wife dishonored him, thus forfeiting her crown, and the position of queen became available. Agents were seeking good-looking girls to fill her place. The king didn't want an ugly girl. Looking for good-looking girls to fill her place. And Esther was one of the women who was chosen. The favor on her life put her at the top, and she was chosen to be the wife of the king. She was blessed. Some would call her lucky. From zero to hero, from rags to riches. But God had a plan for her platform. Her new position had a purpose. The purpose became evident when her people were under threat of annihilation. Her life was comfortable in the palace. And that's when Mordecai approaches her. Glory to God. Amen. And so, as Mordecai told Esther, so the Spirit today is telling us, we've been raised up, we've been delivered, we've been saved, we've been blessed to be a blessing and for a purpose. God saved you in order to save others. God raised you in order to lift others. It's not because you were better than others that you obtained mercy and favor. Had it not been for the love of God, you would be no different from the masses who are headed to hell without salvation, and from the masses who don't know the truth of God's word, and for the masses who needs to be reached out with a word of kindness and with the ministry of encouragement, like Heather was talking about with Barnabas. And he said, it's sad to see, he talks about influential rich people, but you know, all of us have a certain amount of influence. If you're a parent, you certainly influence your kids. Reading again with those kings is so interesting. Usually the wicked king was a wicked king because his father was his wicked king. And by association, he learned how to be wicked. And a good king was usually a good king because his father was a good king. Think about the tremendous importance you have. The greatest thing you'll ever do is parent your children and influence them for God. Glory to God. So we all have it. You have influence with friends. You have influence with family members. Some people have great, great, great influence. And he makes a good point here. He said, it's sad to see people with influence afraid to let their light shine, or afraid of political correctness, or fearful because of offending somebody. They reduce their calling because of fear. In other words, they reduce their calling. And we see this a lot, especially on the news media with famous people that get saved. Sometimes, some of them. They reduce their calling of bringing salvation to merely providing inspiration. It's becoming a trend to be inspirational. There's nothing wrong with that idea, but it cannot be a goal for those who know that hell is hot and forever is too long. I can only imagine what would have happened if Esther would have replied to Mordecai and said, you know, this whole salvation and delivering our people thing, I mean, that's a worthy cause, but you know, that's risky, and there's a really good chance that I'll die trying to do this. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to lose my position as queen. I'm not going to risk my life. I'm going to live my life as queen to inspire little girls all around Babylon to dream big dreams. Wouldn't that have been a shame? Amen. Praise God. When you know people are going to die, living to inspire others is missing the point. We are called to bring salvation, not merely to provide inspiration to a dying generation. If a man is walking to a cliff, he does not need inspiration. He needs you to guide him away from it. If his house is burning, the people in it do not need inspiration. They need to be rescued. If a person is drowning, he does not need encouragement to hang in there. He needs a Savior. Jesus did not come to inspire, but to save those who are lost. That's good preaching, isn't it? Amen. Glory to God. And so we should all dedicate our lives to God and allow God to use us to help and bless others. And there's 1,001 ways you can bless others. When you show them kindness, you're blessing them. But the greatest blessing we can do is, if somebody's not saved, is to share our testimony with them and show them the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I were to list ways, but there's a lot of ways to be a blessing. There's a lot of ways to be a blessing. You know, and Tony right there is one of the greatest examples I've ever seen about this. He just lives his life to be a blessing to others. Every time I'm around him, he's saying, well, I was talking to this guy the other day, and he started telling me his son was on drugs. Well, I mean, you could just sit there and go, okay, and walk away. But that's an open door. That's an open invitation. Tony starts talking to him. He says, let me tell you what, and he starts talking to the person about God. 99% of them are not offended, are they? 99. They're already hurting. They already need help. He told me the other day, he said, man, I had my day planned out. I had a really, really busy schedule. And he said, I went to talk to this friend of mine, and he started telling me that his daughter tried to commit suicide and so forth and so on. Well, Tony said, I put everything else on the shelf, set it all aside, went out to my vehicle, got my Bible, walked back in, and sat there and just ministered to him and told him some things that he needed to hear. That was a great blessing. And these opportunities will present themselves to you if you're available. And so we should if I were to list ways to be a blessing to others, and I am, if I were to list blessings to be a ways to others, number one, I'd say, dedicate yourself to God and His work. Dedicate and consecrate yourself to God. In other words, be committed to following the Lord with all your heart and to doing His will. See, without that first, everybody say first.
First.
Without that first, none of us will really follow and obey the Lord like we should. It all starts with dedication. And so you have to dedicate your life to God, and you need seasons in your life where examine yourself and you have to say, okay, am I doing what God called me to do? Have I got sidetracked and caught up in the busyness of life? Not sinful things, but just the cares of this life and the business of this life. Or am I doing things that are good things, but they're not really what God called me to do? And am I as consecrated as I need to be? Glory to God. And because when you're consecrated and dedicated, then see, you become available, desire to be used, you're open to being used, you're ready and willing, you look for opportunities to be used, and you're led by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. If you do that, the Holy Spirit will create opportunities for you to minister. And you don't have to go out just, you know, there's nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with this at all, but you don't have to go knock on doors. I'm telling you, opportunities will present themselves. Everywhere, they really will. And sometimes it might just be to encourage somebody, or sometimes it might be to tell them something or share some truth with them from the Word of God that will change their life eternally. And sometimes it might be for the greatest miracle of all, to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only will He give you opportunities, He will enable you and empower you and give you the wisdom and words you need to speak. You don't have to worry about that in the least. Can you say amen? You know, Isaiah 1:19 says, if we are willing and obedient, you will hear it. You shall eat the good of the land. See, we need to be willing and obedient. Some people, you know, say they're willing, but bottom line, they never obey. Amen? You have to be willing and obedient. Margaret and I were talking to a man one time, a young man, and he's very friendly, very genial, very amiable. I mean, just a nice guy to hang around and talk to. But, you know, we were talking to him, and, you know, he'd confess his faults and confess his mistakes, and I need to be doing this. But he's asking about a specific thing, and we're really not, you know, he's friendly, but we're not really getting anywhere with him. And, of course, we've known him a long time. And Margaret finally said to him, with that prophetic anointing she has, you know, but under with love and under the anointing, she said, you know, you remind me of the guy that's sitting on the bar stool. He's sitting there drinking his beer saying, oh, I know my life's messed up. Oh, I know I'm not living for God like I should. Oh, I know I'm not the father I should be. Oh, I know I'm not the husband I should be. But then he never makes any changes whatsoever. Well, that kind of shook him a little bit. At least for the moment. Now, whether he actually changed any or not, I don't know, because I wasn't around him after that. I hope he did, put it that way. Glory to God. So we have to be willing and obedient. But, you know, sometimes people are obedient to God, but they do it out of a sense of duty and obligation because they have to. That's not being willing. God wants you, your heart's not really in it. And, you know, you can give, you can serve, you can give money. Sometimes people wonder why they don't receive an increase on their giving. Well, are you doing it out of a sense of duty and obligation, or are you doing it with a willingness of heart because you love the Lord? So you have to be willing and obedient. See, when we're willing and obedient, then we're on the right track. And we should all have the same attitude that Isaiah had when God called him. Now, you're not called to be a prophet to the nation like Isaiah was, but whatever God wants you to do in His kingdom. In Isaiah 6:8, you know, Isaiah says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, that's Isaiah. Then I said, Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Glory to God. That should be all of our attitudes. Here am I, Lord, send me. Who's going to help? The church says they need help. Who's going to help? Here am I, Lord, send me. They said they need money for this project. Who's going to help? Here am I, Lord, use me. I mean, your part may only be $5, or your ability may be $50,000, but whatever it is, here am I, Lord, use me. In other words, he's saying, I'll go. The Lord said, who's going to go? And he said, I'll go, send me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm here, send me. Glory to God. So number one, if you want to be a blessing to others, I'd be consecrated and dedicated to God. Number two, in order to be a blessing to others, number two, get over yourself. If you ever begin to think that you're God's man of faith and power and to the world, you know, and get lifted up in pride, then you're not going to get very far. And we could talk about that all day, but that's not really my message. But, you know, people throughout the Word of God that were not humble, and they got lifted up in pride and thought it was by their might and their strength. In other words, they're not. If you're trusting in your ability, you're not depending on God. God created us to depend on Him 100%, always, always, in every area. But the other aspect of this is really what I focus on this, you can't focus on your own perceived weaknesses and inadequacies and imperfections and be a blessing to others. That's just a ploy of the devil to keep you from being a blessing to others. If God used perfect people, then you know what would be done in His kingdom? I mean, legally, because of Christ's blood, we're perfect, but you know, nobody's perfect. Now look at Exodus chapter 3, and I want us to, boy, the time has really gotten away from Exodus chapter 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is very, very interesting to me here. Exodus chapter 3. God has heard the cry of His people who are in bondage in Egypt. And this is God talking to Moses, whom He is going to use to be was Moses a great blessing to the children of Israel? To be their deliverer. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 8, it says, God says, so I have come down. Let's read verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, here's Moses' response, verse 11. But Moses said, everybody say, but Moses said. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? In other words, God, I think you're making a mistake. Let me give you a word of advice. That's never a good thing to say to God. But Moses said, who am I? I mean, he's not just being humble. He's just being stupid and insecure. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So God said to Moses, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel to say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, for they shall say to me, who is his name, and what shall I say to them? Amen. I mean, Moses' response is not exactly, here am I, Lord, send me. And so the rest of this chapter, you know, God tells him, tell him that I sent you, the God that I am sent you. And then the rest of this chapter, God says, okay, Moses, I'm going to give you three signs, three miraculous signs that you can show to people so that they will believe that I sent you. And he said, see that rod in your hand? He goes, yeah. He goes, throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground and it turned into a snake and Moses ran from it. He goes, just like I would too, wouldn't you? And God said, pick it up by its tail. And when he picked it up by its tail, it turned back into a rod. He said, you do that in front of the people so that they'll know that I have sent you. I am has sent you. And then he said, not only that, here's you another sign. He said, put your hand inside your bosom there. And he did. And when he brought it out, it was leprous. And he said, now put it back in. When he put it back in and brought it out, then it was clean and whole, like a baby's skin. He said, not only that, he said, go dip water out of the river. And he said, now pour it on dry ground. He said, when you pour it on dry ground, it turns to blood. He said, so I'm giving you these three miraculous signs to help you so that you can convince the people. So he does that. Then in chapter 4, verse number 1, amen. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to me. Glory to God. No, actually, I got ahead of myself. Moses said that first. Then God gave them the three miraculous signs. All right, praise God. So Moses said that to him after he had already said, who am I? Why send me? Now he says that they will not believe me. Then God gives him the three miraculous signs. Excuse me. Then in verse number 10, it says, then Moses said, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither, I mean, at this point, it's almost comical. It wasn't too comical to God, though, because the next verse says the Lord was angry. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seen, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Oh, my Lord, please send somebody else." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Do you find that comical? I mean, over and over and over again. Glory to God. Listen, don't let insecurity, don't let fear, don't let wrong thoughts of "I'm not worthy, I'm not qualified, I'm not good enough to be used" keep you from being a blessing to others. Don't you see that's a ploy of the devil? I'm not forgiven, I'm no good. God will help you. I don't have the ability to do it. God will help you. God will equip you. God will anoint you. God will enable you to be a blessing. I like what D.L. Moody said about Moses. He said, Moses spent 40 years thinking he was a somebody, 40 years learning he was a nobody, and 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. And if you're ever going to be used by God like David, because, you know, we know about David's sins and failures, and thank God yours aren't known, but you have to learn to forgive yourself. You have to learn to forgive yourself. At the same time, so you can't be lifted up in pride and think that, you know, that you're somewhat among them, and that's why God uses you. But don't believe what the devil says about you. If you focus on your past failures and past successes and you believe that you are unforgiven, then you will never serve God effectively and never be much use in the kingdom of God. The devil's got you chasing your tail over something that's absolutely not true based on who you are in Christ Jesus. And over and over and over again in the Word of God, we're told to stay out of fear. So again, no, you're not perfect, but you'll never do anything for God if you wait till you're perfect. So get over yourself. God is with you and will help you and use you and give you whatever you need, the wisdom you need, the support that you need, the people that you need in some cases, the money that you need, the abilities that you need, the opportunities, the favor and support to be a blessing to others. Say, I believe that. Amen. And then let's look at quickly here, Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah is a great prophet of the Lord. Let's look at his calling. This is interesting. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." You're not just a blob in the womb. "Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I ordained you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm just a child. I'm just a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm just a child. I'm just a youth. For you shall go to all whom I send. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you see the points. Two great keys are found here to being a blessing that God has called you to be. Number one, don't say, "I'm just an inadequate child. I don't know what to do. I don't have the ability to do it. I can't do it." Don't, God says, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. "I could never witness to anybody." Don't ever say that. "I could never be a blessing." Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. And number two, glory to God. So don't ever, regardless of how you feel, don't ever talk about your inabilities. Take "I can't" out of your vocabulary, because we can in Christ Jesus. And then number two, do not fear people. Do not fear their faces. Do not be afraid to step out and share. Do not fear rejection. Do not fear offended people, because God is with you. He'll deliver you, and he will help you to effectively minister to others. And then number three, and this is my last point here, follow your passion. If you want to be a blessing to others, just simply follow your passion. What do you mean by your passion? I mean, your passion is what stirs you and excites you and moves you. Your passion is what you are enthusiastic about. Passion is a mixture of what you love and what you hate. Sounds funny, doesn't it? But you know, I hate to see people bound by religious traditions. I hate to see Christians suffer from a lack of knowledge. I hate it with a passion. I love to share the truth of God's Word. I love to teach the Bible. That kind of identifies my calling, doesn't it? I hate for people to be uncared for and for people to not have people to watch over them and protect them and have a pastor that loves them and cares about them. I hate it. I love to show compassion to people and minister to people and try to help people. See, I am a pastor and a teacher. My passion identifies my call. And you do understand, by the way, I think you probably already recognize this, but some pastors have a prophetic anointing and calling. Some pastors, and that's why they minister the way they do. Some pastors have an evangelistic calling and anointing. That's why they, well, we're all called to do all of these things, but you understand, specialize. And some pastors have a teacher's anointing. Well, it's quite obvious what I'm called to do, isn't it? Praise God. So you see that. But amen. That's what drives me and what motivates me and what stirs me to action. What bothers you? Does it bother you to hear that we don't have enough children's workers? Does it bother you? Does it anger you if there's a lack of money in the body of Christ? What bothers you? What angers you? Maybe it bothers you to see old people neglected or children uncared for. Or it bothers you if practical needs of the church aren't met. Because you see, that needs to be taken care of. See, that's identifying what your passion is. Maybe your passion is music. Maybe it's working with teens. Maybe it's working with your hands. Maybe it's doing something in the medical field, 1,001 different things. But whatever it is, if you follow after that passion and get training in that area and school yourself in that area and get education in that area and use your gifts and talents in that area, then you will be a blessing to other people, I promise you. And your gift will make a place for you, a room for you. When you step out in faith to be a blessing to others, it makes a difference. Because you step out to be a blessing, people get saved. Because you step out to be a blessing, people get served. Because you step out to be a blessing, people get healed. People get delivered. People get strengthened. People get encouraged. Lives are changed. God's kingdom advances. And God's church is supported and aided in its work. Can you say amen? And even in the natural. I mean, I see David and Renona right there. You know, Dr. and Ms. Holsinger right there. Their passion is music. And they have blessed the world with their music. Glory to God, hallelujah. And blessed student after student after student after student after student after student after student. Listen, even in your natural job or profession, if you do it well, so you're not just there to get a paycheck, you're working as unto the Lord. And you want to provide a good quality project. You want that bolt on the assembly line to not fail whatever product is going on because you want it to be a blessing to people, amen. But whatever service you're providing, whatever you're doing, because what you're doing in your job is going to provide some service, it's going to improve people's lives or offer some service to people or provide some beneficial thing to a person. If you do it, in order to help and bless others and not just to make money, it's not just a job, then it helps society. It meets needs. It contributes to the positiveness of society and fosters godly community. It contributes to the overall welfare of society, and it certainly contributes to the overall welfare of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ when you serve in those areas. Praise God. So it's a blessing. It's a great blessing. And it's a godly thing. It's what love would do. It's what God instructs us to do. It's what the Bible tells us to do. And it causes us to be a blessing to others. Glory to God. You know, Brother Hagin said this. He said, I quit praying years ago. He said, of just praying for my personal blessings, instead of that, I pray, Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. I pray that prayer constantly. Lord, make me a blessing. See, the emphasis on that is that's the importance of serving others. Make me a blessing is I want you to actively use me and my particular gifts and talents and opportunities to bless somebody else. I want to help others. I want to fulfill God's purpose for my life by being a blessing to others. If you bless others, then your life at that moment for that person is for such a time as this. You're stepping out to be a blessing to them and showing them some act of kindness or encouraging them or helping them get over some situation or teaching them some truth that eternally changes their life or gets them saved, of course, then you were born for such a time as this. Hallelujah. So again, whether it's just an act of godly kindness or something that absolutely revolutionizes and changes their life through all of eternity, it's important. Lord, make me a blessing. Would you bow your heads? Would you just make this a prayer this morning if you can? I know you can. Make this a confession. Make this a prayer. Say, Lord. Come on now. Say, Lord. Make me a blessing. Anoint me to make an impact on my generation. Make my life impactful. Use me to help others. And especially use me. And give me opportunities to reach the lost. Give me opportunities to share my life and to be a blessing to others. Oh, can you say amen? Can you say amen? And while if you are saved, lift your hand to heaven. Why don't you do that? If you're not saved, you can get saved. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and your life will be eternally changed. I think you're all saved. Let's stand together. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this. Say, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Take me. Make me a blessing. In Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Why don't you just lift your hands and praise Him a second there. And worship Him and tell Him how much you love Him. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah. Use me, Lord. Use me. You know, I like what the author of this book said. What Mordecai said to Esther, he says, listen, if you don't step out to be a blessing and to be used of the Lord, you're not going to be blessed, and it may cost you, but God will just go around you and find somebody else. A preacher that I really like to listen to out of Arkansas, Happy Caldwell. Anybody know who Happy Caldwell is? Happy Caldwell is a great, great blessing. And Happy Caldwell is right there in the capital of Arkansas. He knows every governor. He knows all their state senators. He's on TV. We don't know him big, but he's pretty well known. And Happy said, the Lord told him one time, he said, you weren't my first choice to be the pastor of this church. And he goes, I wasn't. He goes, no, but they wouldn't answer the call. He goes, well, what number was I? Lord said, you were number 7. That's kind of funny, isn't it? Glory to God. Say it again. Say, Lord, use me. Here am I. Make me a blessing. And use me. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Now, before you dismiss, very important, turn to your neighbor and say, get over yourself. And you're dismissed.